The following is an encore presentation of Access Utah. However, you can still participate in this conversation at upraccess@gmail.com.
Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Amy Choate says that her passion for a plant-based whole food lifestyle is due to her complete recovery from debilitating depression and illness that occurred during her service as a missionary for The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She and Annie Miller have a book out called Naked Nutrition, Whole Foods Revealed, which they say is a guide to why we should eat real food, why it matters, and how we can live with health and energy. Amy Choate and Annie Miller join me in studio today. We're going to talk about whole foods. We'll get into some delicious recipes as well. And Amy Choate, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in. And Annie Miller, thanks.
Thank you.
You both live in the Logan area?
Yes.
if not in Logan. The book is out and available on Amazon. So I want to start with you, Amy. You have a very interesting story. I guess typical upbringing. Let's start there. You were a healthy child.
Oh, yeah. Mom and dad. My dad, notorious in the Heber Valley. I don't know if notorious is the right word. Well known as a gardener, green thumb. Grew up lots of vegetables, things straight out of the garden. They canned and put everything up. Just, I ate well as a child. My mom did everything from scratch. And it was a kind of a romantic childhood I really had. And I was robust. I was very robust as a child. Played a lot of sports, did gymnastics, did all those kid things that kids do. And when I was 21, I went on a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as you'd mentioned. And I was out a few months, and I got up one morning and I really couldn't get up. I remember just crying like a baby, thinking, what is wrong with me? But it wasn't just that morning. It was a long string of events up to that point. And just super tired, sugar addiction like crazy. I didn't realize at that time it was possible to be addicted to things that were, quote unquote, non-addictive. It was sugar. And I was really sick. And I went through a number of doctors. I was in California. I wasn't in any crazy place. I was just in the United States and went through a number of doctors. And I think there was one doctor that just was really intuitive. And he said, have you been tested for mono? And I said, no. And he tested me and it was pretty severe. Missions are rigorous, early mornings, long hours, high stress. And he said, you need to go home. We'll have you come back. I went home and I just couldn't kick it. Couldn't kick it. And so I have to back up a little bit. It's never just one thing. Wasn't just the diet, but it was a combination of factors. It's the stress level. It's the inability to handle my emotions, to know how to resolve them. We're more than just physical. We're spiritual, mental, emotional, physical beings. And the taxation on all those different parts of me just led to an utter breakdown. And I was completely deprived. All of those things affected my nutrition. Stress affects your ability to absorb nutrients and, et cetera. So I broke. I just broke.
And you say you never got an official diagnosis.
I had several things.
Did you?
Yes. And Tom, I don't even like to say specifically some of the things that I got the official diagnosis of mononucleosis, but I was tested for MS. I was tested for a lot of things that they were concerned might be a problem. And I made up my mind I wasn't going to accept a diagnosis. I had to turn to God because without being overly religious, if you are a God fearing person, you recognize that there's really only one source of healing. And I tried everything. Literally, I felt like I had tried everything. And I put myself in his hands. And I said, if there is God and he is real, he can fix this. Mm. And he has. And he continues to. We're on a journey. It's not like you ever just arrive. So I'm still learning. I'm still growing. My body goes through ups and downs, but all in all, I'm way better than I have been ever. So I consider that great success.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to go back to this diagnosis. I think there would be people listening who would say, don't advise people not to get a diagnosis, right?
Yes, you need to. I'm not telling people not to get help. Of course, you need to find out what the problem is. But I think the real thing we have to recognize is the problem doesn't come from an outside source. Generally, it can, but generally speaking, we are the problem. Amy Choate was Amy Choate, Amy Ward at the time. I was the problem. I was creating my own stress. I was not, or I didn't know how to handle it, or I was eating the wrong foods, or a diagnosis is just saying there's a problem here. But we have to get to the root. What's the root of the problem? I was the problem.
Now, when you say you were the problem, are you talking about food? Are you talking about emotional? Are you talking about
I'm talking about everything. Mm. I'm talking about everything. But honestly, my missionary diet was terrible. Mm. You know, you're getting fed really refined foods every night, dessert every meal. There's always a dessert. Every good Mormon woman thinks that they need to put a dessert on the table. And of course they don't. You know, lots of rich foods, a lot of refined products, things outside of their whole form. Mm-hmm. So that played a major, major part. I'm mm-hmm. very aware of that. But it's a number of imbalances that mm-hmm. lead to a breakdown.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the culture, your culture, Mormon culture.
Yes.
It's very tied up with food. And I wonder if you think there's been a journey there, because if you, you know, think about my grandmother, even my mother, there's a lot of natural food there. Do you think we as a society, including the subset Mormon culture, have drifted into processed foods?
Absolutely. In fact, Annie and I were just talking about that this morning. If it's okay, Tom, Annie has really talked about, I'd like to let Annie in on this one. She's very passionate about the need to change the food culture.
Mm-hmm. Let me start with your story, and then we can morph into that subject. So, because it's related, so you write in the book that you grew up eating natural foods and vegetables straight out of the garden and that sort of thing.
Yes, I did, and loved it. My grandmothers and my father and parents they grew gardens, and I just adored their food. But I was still, you know, every day of junior high, I know my lunch was the greasy fries and a chocolate milk from a box and a little pastry honey bun every single day of junior high. And so I still had my definite junk that I loved. And it wasn't until I was married, a newly married wife, and I was bringing my foods from my college apartment into my new apartment with my husband, Lincoln. And his mother, Catherine, was helping me unload those boxes. And she has an interesting story. I'll tell you real fast, this is where she was coming from. She had battled rheumatoid arthritis from the time her youngest was, well, one of her children, anyway, 25 years or so. And she fought it through nutrition. She never took drugs. She never took medication through all those years. She just fought it through nutrition and whole foods. So she had a real life experience that she could pass on to me that said, listen, are you sure you want to go down this path? So this is what she did. As she was handing me the cans of cream of mushroom soup and cream of chicken soup and other such things, as she handed them to me, I could tell there was some hesitation. She didn't quite want to release them to me. And finally, she said, Annie, are you sure you want to use these foods? And I was a little bit, that was a strange question, because why wouldn't I? I've used them all my life. And so I looked at her and I just kind of said, well, I think so, don't I? And she said, well, let me just tell you a little bit about what is in some of these foods. And you might think about replacing it, and I can show you how. I can show you how to make, you know, a creamy whatever without using this food. And if you read the ingredients, you know, she said, you can see that a lot of this is not food. This is not real. And it will not support you and bless you. And when she said those words to me, I absolutely knew it was true. I didn't question. I didn't hesitate. And I said, well, okay, I guess I'm not using these. And we took them all back out and dumped them in the dumpster. And from then on, it's never been a question. And I'm certain that my life has been blessed. My children's lives have been blessed because we've eliminated a lot of the preservatives and just the fake from that moment on.
So now let's have you talk about what we were talking about before, this culture shift. A lot of people would say there has been a shift in food.
Yeah. We're obsessed with food. Everywhere we go, there's, you know, an activity or a this or a that. There's a treat served at the end or whatever. It's a celebration. It's all about the food. And I feel like, okay, mothers especially, I have wished so much that there were more mothers on board that realized that some of these foods are not what they seem. They're in wonderfully packaged wrappers. They look appealing. They're new and attractive, and all the kids are doing it. But if we taught our children the truth about what was in these foods and in these packages, would we really be okay giving it to them every day, all the time? Would we really be okay to celebrate in this way? And I envision more mothers, more teachers, more people who give these things out freely because they want to be fun or they want to celebrate. I envision more of us stepping up and saying, wait a minute, what really are we offering our children? And if they knew the truth, and if we knew the truth and understood, would we still be doing it? And I feel like in a way it's deceiving our children that this is the way we celebrate. We give you this because everybody does it. This is okay. But it's really not. If we truly, truly ask ourselves the question, what is this we're giving them?
I wanted to just follow up there with something that you wrote. You said food is not just something to put in our bellies.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we have to think. It's, again, thinking beyond. Food is built up of food that God has created has building blocks. It's phytochemicals, it's nutrients, it's vitamins, there's stuff packed in those little foods, seeds, vegetables, fruits, whatever, packed with things that we don't even know exist. We just taste it as an apple or a date or a nut. But in those are the building blocks for life. And sometimes we don't think beyond what we're putting in our mouths. It's just, it tastes good. Or it's going to fill our belly. Or it's going to make that hunger feeling go away. Or it's going to make that sad feeling go away. But it does something. The food that we put in our bodies does something. And either blesses and supports or stays there and robs or depletes or inhibits true health and growth and vitality.
Mm. You also say, I want to follow this in the same theme, you say that the problem is not, it's way more than just junky food. And talking about, you know, what you feed your children and I guess what you teach your children.
Well, so this is, I guess these are the philosophies of Annie. These are not, this is just my thought. And as I've thought about this, these are my feelings. I have a favorite book. One of my favorite books is called When a Man's a Man, and it's an old book. And it talks about a man who, in his young adult life, realizes that he was robbed of his birthright because of the way he was brought up. I'll let anyone who wants go discover that for themselves. I won't give any more. But he was robbed of his birthright. And I've thought the same thing, that as a mother, I feel like if I don't teach the truth about food to my children and I just accept the tradition and the culture, that I truly am robbing them of their birthright to have a sound mind and a strong body. And food can become addictive. I think I battle with food addiction. Food is just fun. And we all, I don't know anybody who doesn't think food is just a fun thing. And so I feel that children and we as parents owe it to our children to give them the best, to give them the truth, to offer them what is real. And otherwise, I feel like we're cheating them.
Let's take a break. When we come back, more on this very interesting subject. The book is Naked Nutrition, Whole Foods Revealed. And I have the authors with me, who are Amy Choate and Annie Miller. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about the title of the book, Naked Nutrition. And also, Amy, you've written about the fact that this is not a vegan cookbook, right? You prefer
yes.
the term plant-based. I'll ask about that. And how we can all get along, meat eaters and vegans alike. We've had some programs on this this program, and I know it can be a touchy subject. I'll talk about that and much more. Again, some recipes as well as we go along. More following the break.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and Devour Utah, a monthly magazine devoted to covering Utah's dining and drink scene with a spotlight on cooking, local happenings, and libations. Available at newsstands or online at devourutah.com.
Time can feel slow.
An hour takes forever when you're five.
Time can feel fast.
There's a lot you can capture with just a second.
Time is always changing.
You're seeing the past, you're in the present, you're thinking about the future, it's all there. It focuses us on life.
I'm Guy Raz, shifting time on the next TED Radio Hour from NPR.
This morning at 10 on Utah Public Radio.
This is Terry Guy, Development Officer at Utah Public Radio. UPR is a statewide public radio station serving the citizens of Utah since 1953. Our listeners are educated, socially conscious, and enjoy arts and culture. They are your loyal patrons. If you're looking to make a smart business decision, become a UPR sponsor. For more information, call 435-797-3141.
The first thing you lose is vision.
Your heart speeds up, stomach muscles clench.
And you have what's called gray out.
Gray out.
Then you go through blackout. Then you lose consciousness.
This week on Radiolab, out-of-body experiences. From fighter pilots to phantom limbs.
Some feel their arm is always clenched.
The nails dig into my palm.
Some feel that their hand is hot, that it's cold.
Tuesday morning at 10 on Utah Public Radio.
The following is an encore presentation of Access Utah. However, you can still participate in this conversation at upraccess@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking about a book, Naked Nutrition, Whole Foods Revealed. And the authors, who I have in studio with me, say it's a guide to why we should eat real food, why it matters, and how we can live with health and energy. I'm joined by Amy Choate and Annie Miller, who are the authors of this book. It's available, I believe, on Amazon?
And Barnes & Noble.
Okay. I want to go back to your story, Amy, and wonder how broadly you think the problem goes. You know, a person could say, okay, Amy had this problem, and you know, we're grateful that she solved this problem through Whole Foods. But I'm healthy, eating the so-called junky food. So how does this apply to me? What would you say?
Well, let me see, Tom. I'm not sure if I understand your question totally. You're saying, how does this apply to me?
to any listener, any reader of the book? How does it apply to them?
Just more broadly, even if they don't feel like their diet is has a problem.
Okay, so say they go to the gym every day and they're totally fit and they've got 6% muscle, body fat or just whatever. This applies to every single person on earth. What we're dealing with here is more than just food. I think we're dealing with a couple of things here. We're dealing with food and the challenge of keeping it in its natural, naked form. We're not just talking about, the title of the book, Naked Nutrition. We're not just talking about eating carrot sticks in the buff. It has nothing to do with human nakedness. It has everything to do with the way God put it, keeping things in their natural form. But it also applies to it really applies to everyone, because food is, as Annie said, it is the foundation of your mind and your character. These are the building blocks of who we are. Now, you may go to the gym every day, but how clear is your thinking? How is your ability to get along with people? Are you calcium deficient? Even though we're dealing with so many factors, we're such complex people and so such complex beings that food is just one element, but it is the one thing we can control. Now, speaking of control, I wanted to touch on this for a second. Right now, studies suggest that between 70 to 80% of packaged food in grocery stores is genetically modified. Now, I won't go into the battle necessarily about genetic modification. I will just say I am 100% against it. I have seen enough evidence in my own life of what happens with my children and myself when we eat it and are around it, that I know it doesn't work for me. So I'll just leave it at that. But let's say that there is a problem. Just pretend, hypothetically, that genetically modified foods are bad for you and that they can alter your genetic makeup. So if 70 to 80% of what we're eating in the store is genetically modified, how important, and it does affect you. It does affect your makeup, your ability to perform, your ability to think, your ability to procreate, your ability to be emotionally stable.
Digest your food.
To digest your food, to absorb nutrients. Let's just pretend that's the case. Would you think twice about what goes into your mouth and where it's been, and if it has been modified, and where you're getting your food, and if it is, in fact, in a naked form?
So you think there, and I think a lot of us would agree with this, that you think there's a disconnect. It's an automatic.
Absolutely.
And we're not thinking about our food.
Absolutely. If you do not know what's in your food, if you can't pronounce the ingredients, if you can't explain what each thing is, you really need to do a double take and say, what is that? Does that deserve a place in my body? Mm-hmm. So it does apply to every living soul. This is something that everyone should be asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I agree with you. We don't think about it much, and you have a list here. Naked food doesn't have stabilizers, dyes, additives, preservatives, flavor enhancers. The list,
et cetera, et cetera.
As I read that list, I'm kind of thinking, well, but then probably the next meal I have, I'll go back to not thinking about it. But you're wanting us to think about it at least.
We want to ask to invite people. This is an invitation. This book is an invitation to think about your food, to think about your body, to think about how you live. If it is not the way God made it, if it is not in its natural form, can we pretend that we could do better than God?
Can I say something on that?
Yes.
There's a picture in there in the book, and it's a picture of a table with our children sitting up to the table with a spread of vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds. Do you remember? Are you familiar with this?
Cute kids, by the way.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
That picture was very, when we did that, we had one day where we did a photo shoot of about 10 dishes, and we had tons of food before us. And we just looked around and thought, what a genius of a creator to create this beautiful purple cabbage. And then if you cut it in half and see the design and the shape, and then you have this totally different creation, a tomato in its perfection, and then you have a carrot, and then you taste all these things. And I just was in awe at the variety and the beauty and the deliciousness of what has been given. And I feel like sometimes it's a battle of, if we could recognize a table or an offering as such the Lord has given us, as that picture indicates, we would maybe realize the other things, you know, the bag of potato chips, or the bag of raisins that are now tinted orange and introduced with orange flavor. Why in the world? Why would we need to add upon what God has created? I feel like sometimes it might be offensive to Him that we feel like we have to add to, when really we're destroying what He's created. And I feel like it also teaches our children to appreciate the simplicity of what God has given and created. If they are shown the thing in the bright wrapper, the package of Oreos, are they ever going to be satisfied with a date or a slice of apple? Mm. You're always competing with what man can create that's more bling. And I state that in my book because I feel like that's what it is. It's just bling to create great consumers of our children, and or present them with this thing in its wholeness and in its purity that will sustain them for life, not just be an instant gratification and a cheap thrill.
If you just joined us, we are talking with the authors of the book Naked Nutrition, Whole Foods Revealed. And we're talking with Annie Miller and Amy Choate. We do have an email. I'll get to that just shortly, because it has to do with the topic I'm going to go to after this one. I want to talk about kids. So, and, you know, anybody who's battled a child who's been bombarded with those advertisements know that it can be quite a battle. And that includes food, as you just mentioned. Blingy food, you know, versus, and you're trying to hand them a date. So how do you do that? How do you combat that? How do you convince the child?
That's where I wish more mothers were on board. That, listen, mothers, let's help each other out, because if we're at the Cub Scout activity and you're offering the moon pie, they're going to choose the moon pie. That's just human nature, and that's the mortal in us, that we will choose the easiest, most...
Enticing.
That's the good word. Enticing, yes. Thing first. We'll choose probably a movie over, our children will choose a movie over reading a book. They'll choose Disneyland over going camping, probably. But those things are cheap thrills, and they are not lasting. They are not going to create lasting impressions on the spirit and soul. They are cheap. They're fun in the moment, but they're not going to create character or build character.
Of course, you and I can nod our heads, but for a child.
So for a child, reminding me, we're back to our children. Well, I flat out tell my children, why is this apple red? Because God created it. Why is this gummy bear red? Did God create it? No. Well, what made it red? And I say, would you eat paint? Would we eat this red chair in our house? Would we go lick it? No. Well, would we eat this red gummy bear? And basically, you know, it's of course not the exact same thing, but in a way it kind of is. It's a fake color added to make this thing red. And I've told my children that is one thing that I do not allow in the home, is colored foods, colored and dyed things, because that's an easy thing that they can recognize if they're at church or a party or wherever. They can learn to turn down a blue sucker or the bag of M&Ms, because they're colored, and I've taught them what those things are. And sometimes my children, most of the time, they are able to turn it down. Sometimes they don't, and I don't get mad, but hope that the teaching will sink in. and that they will realize that the gift I'm giving them by educating them about the truth. So I do, but there are some times that a neighbor will welcome us with a plate of homemade cookies or homemade banana bread, and it might not be with the things that I would make mine with, but the offering is important as well, and I like us to say thank you by being grateful for what is offered. And it's just the totally fake colored junk that they can recognize. Even the youngest 3-year-olds can recognize that this is not okay. Mm-hmm. These are not appropriate.
Can I add to that, Tom?
Yeah.
So it really is, as Annie said, it really is about education. You must teach them. And you have to draw a line as a parent. You have to say, where am I willing to start? What's the line we're going to draw? And in Annie's home, it was dyes. No dyes. In our home, I'd say we're along those same lines, maybe even a little more strict. And you kind of have to, it's tricky because the kids are kids. How do you tell a child that's very young that they can't have something that looks so awesome? It's very, very hard. And the only thing you can offer them is education. You have to teach them the truth. And sometimes they'll take the candy. And like Annie said, they're children. You can't beat them up. But what happens when they take it is usually the parent pays the price. I want to tell a quick story. Can I do that?
Sure.
Just super fast. My children, my oldest had never, ever had any dyed anything. Never had anything with preservative, anything. He just had never had anything. He was so clean, this clean little body. And at church, the hardest place, I have to admit, sometimes is at church. It just is, because it's part of the culture. So someone handed him something in nursery, and he came home, and it was a Swedish gold, a Swedish fish, and he came home, and for 24 hours, he knocked his head against the wall. he was gone. Mm-hmm. My child was gone. He was acting autistic. He was acting. It scared the living daylights out of me. Like, what happened to my child? And so I'm grateful for that experience, actually, because it taught me there is a repercussion. There is a repercussion. He was too young to understand it, but we tell him that story now, and he is not tempted by dyed foods. We still struggle in other areas. We're against the whole world here. Mm-hmm. You know, a little teaching in the home, consistent teaching, and then they go out and somebody offers them something glorious. So glorious in the term of glorious, man-made, packaged in bling. Mm-hmm. But it's important. The only hope we have is to teach them at home and then hope that they will make good choices and keep reiterating that teaching and hope that other women and other mothers and other leaders and other community members step up and fight this battle with us, because we are selling our children's birthrights for a mess of pottage, a mess of man-made pottage that just doesn't support, it supports addiction and money.
Sometimes I've had, I hope this story is okay as well, but I've had people in my life several times say, Annie, you've just got to loosen up. And I felt kind of like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I just loosen up? Why can't I just buy this package of Oreos and just loosen up and say, kids, we're celebrating tonight? And for some reason, I cannot live a lie. I cannot live that lie and teach it to my children. If I buy that and bring that home, present it to them, then what is all those years of teaching that I have done? It's a moment of weakness that I feel like I just erased by showing them that, well, most of the time we eat right and we don't buy these things and we say no. But tonight we're going to celebrate with Oreos and it's going to be fine. And I just feel like as a mother, this is a hard battle, because we need to be consistent, and it's not easy.
Lest you think we're perfect. We're absolutely not. We fall and we get back on the bandwagon. The trick is to just keep going. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't say that we're perfect, that we eat this way perfectly. We just do our darndest and get back on the bandwagon when you fall off. You just got to keep going.
I want to go to break. Before I go, just briefly, what's Halloween like at your house?
Oh, yay! That's a good question.
Because this kind of gets us into perceptions and
from
your perspective, danger. And I could see maybe your households being the unpopular, apple house or, what do you do for Halloween?
We have the cutest Halloween party. And
it's annual. Every year Annie does this.
Well, together we do
your own Halloween to shield the kids from the...
We do, but we make it... I don't love the holiday of Halloween anyway. I don't love the... I love to celebrate fall, and I love the dressing up. There's a lot of fun to it, but we create our own family culture celebration. Hmm. And we send out invitations, and we have a potluck with wonderful fall foods. We ask that there be no candy brought, but I did make a killer batch of sourdough sugar cinnamon donuts, organic cane sugar or something. Anyway, something that I felt was appropriate to celebrate that the kids were thrilled about, and we did donuts on a string. And
they didn't miss
they
it.
They don't miss
they
it.
They don't miss it.
You play
it's
games.
It's so fun.
And your family's there, and your families and friends, your dear friends are with you, and you're celebrating in a way that is truly celebrating, not just tradition, that we go knock on the door and open up our bag and get the candy. That's a silly tradition for me that I choose not to keep on. Mm-hmm.
The way Annie does it is it's a tradition that serves. It serves the community. It serves our family and friends. It serves to enlighten and bless those who are there. We do... the kids memorize poems or play the piano,
show,
do a
yes.
talent show. And we do a little dancing. And I mean, it's just fun. And it teaches that we can do things differently and still enjoy ourselves.
We will take a break. When we come back, more with Annie Miller and Amy Choate. Their book, Naked Nutrition, Whole Foods Revealed, is what we're talking about today. We didn't do veganism versus plant-based diet, and we'll get to some recipes, some food that you can make in the last segment of the program. Also get to the email that I've been neglecting, and much more following the break.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and Utah Humanities, empowering Utahns to improve their communities through active engagement. Online at utahhumanities.org.
Remarkable Women is made possible with support from the Center for Women and Gender at Utah State University.
Organize, agitate, educate must be our war cry. Susan B. Anthony.
Susan B. Anthony was a leader in both the abolition and suffrage movements. She was in a 50-year partnership with Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and together they established organizations, petition drives, and publications while campaigning widely for passage of the 19th Amendment to the Constitution giving women the vote.
Remarkable Women is made possible with support from the Center for Women and Gender at Utah State University, providing students another perspective of current societal issues. Information at womenandgender.usu.edu.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Grammy-winning singer-songwriter Lori McKenna talks about her new album and where she finds inspiration.
As a songwriter, you just have to take an emotion that you felt for like 10 minutes, whether it's despair or happiness, and you have to just like blow it up to 3.5 minutes.
That's next time on Here and Now.
Join us this morning at 11 on Utah Public Radio.
The following is an encore presentation of Access Utah. However, you can still participate in this conversation at upraccess@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. We've reached our last segment with Annie Miller and Amy Choate. They're authors of Naked Nutrition, Whole Foods Revealed, which they say is a guide to why we should eat real food, why it matters, and how we can live with health and energy. The book is out on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And there's a website, nakednutrition.life. And you can find recipes and other things at that website. Let me get immediately to our email. I'd really like to increase my protein intake, and I'm hoping maybe your guest can provide a few suggestions. I eat nuts and I eat eggs. What other options do I have? I mostly need grab-and-go snacking solutions. Thanks in advance.
Okay. Do we have a name?
Beth.
Beth. Okay, good question, Beth. Thank you. You know, I think the trick with protein is that it's hiding in so many things that we don't assume it's in the greens, and we don't assume that it's in the plants like it is. So I think you have to forget about protein and just start thinking nutrition. But if you want something quick and easy, I guess I could answer this in two things. If you want some quick and easy ideas, make sure that you're getting those seeds. Seeds are less expensive than nuts. And so we do a lot of seeds at our house. And to increase the nutrition, you want to soak them overnight to remove the enzyme inhibitors and increase the, you know, they're basically germinating. You're turning them into a little bit of a plant. And then you rinse them the next morning. And then the book has some great ideas on toasting them for snacks, for salads, for soups. Say you're eating a soup that you just need a little more protein. Throw some of these on the top. You're eating a sandwich. You need a little more protein. Throw these in the sandwich. On a salad, you can have half lettuce and half seeds, toasted seeds. And we will...
The dressings, of course.
Here's another... That's another one. The dressings. On the website this morning, I just put up a recipe for sunflower seed ranch. And if you do this dressing, if you make it, take the 10 minutes to make it, and use that throughout your week, you will find that you can get that as a protein. My kids will eat carrot sticks and ranch, that ranch, for lunch, and that'll last them hours because the dressing itself is so satisfying because it's a cup of seeds. Mm-hmm. And so definitely, like I said again, don't forget that protein is in everything. It really is in everything. It's in your greens. You get a lot of protein in your greens, but also sneak it in. Put it in your dressings. Get it into your seeds. And there was something else, and now I can't remember. I'm so sorry.
Well, while you're thinking of that, I wanted to expand the conversation. You write in your introduction about a phenomenon that I'm very familiar with, and that is that sometimes there can be a culture clash and even animosity between meat eaters and vegans and vegetarians.
Yes.
In fact, I noticed an interesting phenomenon. I hadn't been aware of this shift. I was watching a cooking show on television. They brought out some cuts of meat, and they called it protein. I guess we're not calling it meat, maybe because that's offensive to some people. And so there can be fights between the two groups. What do you say? That's why you prefer the term plant-based.
Oh, I just don't like fights at all. So we have found, I think, that intro to the book, it's beautifully written. My husband and I wrote that. Josh and I wrote that together. And there's room for everyone. There is room for everyone. If you love your meat, we're not telling you have to give it up. We're not telling you have to do anything. This is an invitation to come to a higher plane. And we really, at our home, we don't eat any animal products. So you'd say at home, technically, we're vegan. But when we go out, sometimes the best option is an animal product. It's much cleaner than some of the preservative-laden you know, or other things that have been processed and adulterated. So really, there is no fight here. The trick is do we eat enough? I guess the question you ask is, do we eat enough meat as a nation that we need to say we need more meat? I think everyone will honestly say we eat enough meat. Most people say we probably eat too much. It's a little too much. The meat industry is massive. We probably eat too much meat. I think we could agree on at least we have enough, right? So the next thing is, well, where are we lacking? What can we do? And the answer is eat more plants. Just eat more plants. And there's room for everybody in that. The vegans can be happy because we're saying eat more plants, and the vegetarians can be happy because we're saying you can still have some animal products. We're not touting anything. I think there's room for everyone to have what they want if we will learn to be wise, the question really everyone has to ask themselves is my diet working for me? And if not, what do I need to change? Most people will say eating more plants is appropriate. So plant-based really is ideal to focus on the plants. And if you still need something else, add it. If you still need some meat, you still need some cheese, you still need an animal product, great. That's fine. Suit yourself. But focus first on the plants.
So Annie, I wanted to turn to you. There's an old radio trick, sort of an insider thing. When you bring a person in for an interview, you ask them what they had for breakfast. And so they talk about the breakfast. You can set on audio level. So for a different purpose, I'm going to ask you, and then this is, I guess, to address my concern that, the recipes look great. This all seems great, but I'm in a hurry. Can I do this on fairly limited time? And how creative can I get? So with that as a background, what'd you have for breakfast?
Well, I have a lot of squash hanging around my house. I try to eat things that are in the season of squash stores through the winter, and it's a wonderful gift to us. So we have a lot of squash, and instead of just having squash again, I needed to change it up so my kids didn't think we were only eating squash every day, every meal. And so today's breakfast was steamed squash with some raw cacao powder and some pure maple syrup and chia seeds, a little salt and vanilla and some coconut milk. And we had a chocolate chia pudding.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
You could make it the night before. Mm-hmm.
I steamed the squash last night and let it cool all night. I sat on my stove, and this morning I just mixed it up with some honey or maple syrup, whatever, sweetener, and made it chia chocolate pudding.
Mm-hmm.
It took 10 minutes.
Right.
Prep time.
Well, let's get into some of the dishes. And I love peaches, so I picked out perfectly peach pie. Amy, tell me about that one.
Well, this is Annie's recipe, okay. So I'm going to let Annie tell you about this one.
Well, this recipe, so I have a delicious, a lot of my recipes didn't just come out of thin air into my mind. They have been something that I've loved in my past or that I've seen a picture of that looks delicious, and then I revamp it to not have any cream cheese or not have any white sugar or whatever. And this is one of those. It's a peach pie that I love to make at summertime. And
147, Annie.
Oh, thanks. Anyway, it is just, it seems like it has a cream cheese layer. It has a nice crust made with dates and nuts. And then it has the creamy filling. And on top of that, it has raw peaches sliced. And I've made a kind of like a jelly sauce out of mashed peaches to pour over the top. Then you chill it, and it's just like a raw peach cheesecake.
You wouldn't know that it was
never
anything that came out of a book called Naked Nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You'd think it came out of some sugary bakery somewhere.
Mm-hmm. That's in the picture. It looks like it's, it's sugary, kind of a regular pie, but it's based on the Naked Nutrition principles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder about favorite recipes, and we've been talking about some desserts. What about, a main dish?
Main dishes. Oh, gee, let's see. Well, the cool thing about soups is they can be a main dish or they can be a precursor to a meal.
Right.
So this book, maybe the biggest section is the soups. We do a lot of soups, and I have to say the cream of potato and leek chowder is incredible. Everyone who's tried it and the feedback we've gotten has been astounding. They're just amazed. They didn't know that it could taste so good. And that's a man's soup. Mm-hmm. Men love hearty chowders. And, I'm planning to get that one up on the website. So people who don't, may not buy the book, you could go to the website and get that one this week. Main dishes, I'd have to say Gee, I'm looking through here. Can I take 1 second and go back?
Yes,
to,
definitely.
You ask Annie about quick mm-hmm. on-the-go foods.
Yes.
The cereals in the book, the granolas are just make ahead. Some of them take 10 minutes. You make a batch enough for 2 weeks or a month, and you just whip it all together, store it in a glass container, and there you go. Cold cereal.
And once you have it done, it's good to go.
Once you're done, yeah. It's good to go. The cranberry orange granola we used to sell at the market, and that was just, we couldn't keep it stocked. It's so delicious, and it's so grain-free. Mm. You know, people who can't do grains, if you're on a paleo or you're some kind of a specialized diet, it's very easy. But let's go back to main dishes.
The potato casserole is always...
They're all really good. How do you pick just one? Yeah, Annie has a potato casserole that is a breakfast, but it's also a dinner, and that one is just delightful. Very yummy. We have a sun-dried lasagna that it's raw, mostly raw for people who, or you could do it all raw. We try to address every eating type, every diet, every preference in this book, because we're wide variety cooks. Our families like lots of things. So this one is more of a raw dish, and it will fool the best. You would think it was completely cooked, that it had mm-hmm. been simmering and stewing, that tomato sauce.
I want to say something about main dishes.
Very good. We just have about a minute left.
So. Oh, okay. So if you get some organic corn tortillas, at least if you're going to do anything organic, do organic corn. But organic corn tortillas, those can be turned into a million different things. If you have cooked lentils, cooked rice, cooked potatoes, steamed cabbage, sautéed cabbage, raw cabbage, you can layer. Start with a little tortilla and then just layer. You can have two things on it. You can have 10 things. And then top it with a dressing, any of the dressings in the book, a sweet dressing, a savory. You have a delicious meal, bursting with flavor, bursting with nutrition, and it can be whipped up in minutes.
We'll leave it there. We're out of time. You can check out some of these recipes on the website, nakednutrition.life. And for the rest of them, you'll have to get the book, which is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And it's called Naked Nutrition, Whole Foods Revealed. I've been talking with the authors, Annie Miller and Amy Choate. Thank you, both of you, for coming in.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
And thanks for listening today.
How to Make White People Laugh is the new memoir by stand-up comic Negin Farsad. Next time on Q, guest host Yelena Adzik speaks with her about using humor to explore issues of race that we're often too nervous to express. That's coming up on Q from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at 1, right here on Utah Public Radio.
In spite of dire predictions about global warming and sea level rise, there's a building boom in South Florida.
Prices are really doing well in South Florida. But when you look at what could happen with sea level rise in the next 30 years, you know, it's kind of daunting to think about buying a house.
To say nothing of the flood insurance. I'm Steve Kerwood, and that's next time on Living on Earth from PRI.
Join us Wednesday morning at 10 on Utah Public Radio.
This is Utah Public Radio, a statewide service of Utah State University and the College of Humanities and Social Sciences, KUSR Logan, KUSK Vernal, KUSL Richfield, KUSC Moab, KCEU Price, KUSUFM Logan, also heard at upr.org.